Blog Talk Radio.
Monet and left foot.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, who came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is indeed due forever. And in the name of the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of our divine reminder in our midst, The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet the listening audience, our distinguished panel, with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam.
All right, so we're going to get started. Welcome to this week's edition of Conscious Black Nation. I am your host, Brother Kareem N. Muhammad, also known as Kareem, the Communicator. And before we get into our topic this week, which is, will the real Muslim please stand up? I'd like to have my panel introduce themselves. So I'm going to start with you, Sister Yetiri, you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, ma'am. So if you would present yourself here, Sister Yetiri.
Yes, sir. I'm like a family. This is Sister Yetiri, 21, out of Tampa, Florida. a strong fighter for my nation, for our freedom, justice, and equality. Right now I'm a hostess on Young, Gifted, and Black on the Saturday show. And I have the honor to be a panelist tonight on this topic with real Muslims, please stand up.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And Brother Yahimio, you with us?
Yes, sir. How is everyone doing this evening?
They're just fine. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. So if you would just let the audience know just a little bit about yourself, you know.
Yes, my name is Eugenio. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana, but I live here in Atlanta, Georgia. I am an artist, an emerging artist out here in Atlanta, Georgia, using my talent to not only touch the youth, but as well as adults as well. So I am basically just using the talent that Allah has blessed me with to just display it to our people, try to reach our people, so that they can see a brighter sense of themselves through God's mercy.
Yes, sir. All praises be to Allah. And Brother Jihad, you there, sir?
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And, sir, as we know, you don't need an introduction, but if you would present yourself, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is Brother Jihad Ali. 4-star general of the Defenders of Farrakhan, and I'm here to give truth to my people, and I am indeed a hypocrite and disbeliever, worst nightmare. And besides that, I'm also here to also be a part of this beautiful panel of beautiful believers and brothers and sisters, and it is an honor, a distinct honor, to be a part of the believing body. Especially with such great brothers and sisters you got on this panel here tonight, brother. So, yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Thank you for joining us, brother.
Yes,
and
anytime,
Queen Aziza, are you there?
Yes, I'm on mute because I'm driving. Can
yes,
you hear
ma'am,
me?
Hun. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I can understand. I just wanted to make sure we acknowledge the queen.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be on mute, so I'm listening.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. Well, as anyone knows, here on Conscious Black Nation, we don't waste any time. We get right into what our business is. And as we said earlier, our topic tonight is, will the real Muslim please stand up? And before we go further into that, I want to say I've received some emails, you know, questioning the fact of why I changed the title song and why in particular I used Janelle Monáe's Tightrope. And just to let individuals know, those who were listening and who did question me about that, I didn't respond to them privately. I'm going to respond publicly. It's real simple. There is a tradition in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Isaiah Watson, where it states that in this time that we are in, that those who call themselves the righteous, those who say that they are Muslims, it says both the good ones and the bad ones. This is how it states it. It says that in order to cross over into paradise, that we will be required to cross over what is called the Bridge of Sirat. And the Bridge of Sirat is literally the bridge of the straight path. It is said that this bridge is so thin that it's like walking on a razor blade. So that means that if you lose your balance, if you don't cross it carefully, that anybody who doesn't cross it carefully and doesn't make it across, that they would be split in half and descend into the pits of hell. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that, but it made me think about the path that we, as the righteous, or those who are striving to be righteous, I should say, the path that we must walk and how careful we must be in carrying out the instructions we have been given by Almighty God Allah through his messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now the divine reminder, the Honorable Minister Lewis Farrakhan. And so that's why the theme song changed. Now, to begin, we're going to open up, and it's in the Holy Quran Sharif, Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. It's in Surah 5, Ayah 3, where it states, Allah states this. He says, "This day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor to you and chosen for you Islam as a religion." And then going to Surah 3, Ayah 67, or verse 67, where Allah states, "Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, but he was an upright man, a Muslim, and he was not one of the polytheists." And finally, from the Holy Quran, we go to Surah 32, entitled The Adoration. And it's the verses of Ayahs 24 through 30, which read, "And we made from among them leaders to guide by our command when they were patient, and they were certain of our messages. Surely thy Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that wherein they differed. Is it not clear to them how many of the generations in whose abodes they go about we destroyed before them? Surely there are signs in this. Will they not then hear? See they not that we drive the water to a land having no herbage? Then we bring forth thereby seed produce of which their cattle and they themselves eat. Will they not then see? And they say, when will this victory come if you are truthful? Say, on the day of victory, the faithful those who now disbelieve will not profit them, nor will they be respited. So turn away from them and wait. Surely they too are waiting." Next, we want to go to the Bible, King James Version. And in the book of James, first chapter, 8th verse, it states, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Then the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, it states, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hath labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And finally, Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, in which it states, And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, and that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. So that Allah, surely Allah, speaks the truth. All right, let's move right on into this. And so I'm going to come to you first, Sister Yatira. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Waikum.
Yes, ma'am. And this is a question that's going to go around to the entire panel. The first question is this. You know, we hear all the time people say, well, you know, I know for myself, people say, well, keep it real, keep it real. Nowadays, I think the term is keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Is that how you say it?
100.
Okay. Keep 100. All right. I want to get it right. 100. All right. Okay, so I would take it that 100 and real are the same thing. So the question is, what is real?
Wow. That's a powerful question. What is real? Okay. Well, real is obviously the opposite of fake. So, bam. But going into details a little bit, I mean, keeping it real in my interpretation of it and just in the language of how we use it is just to speak your mind or speak how you truly feel about something, be able to be honest and upfront about it instead of beating around the bush or, you know, putting up a front with something. It can be used in so many different ways, I feel. You know, it could be in conversations, keeping it real, or just in, you know, in friendships and how you feel about certain people or, you know, topics or whatever. But keeping it real is just being straightforward, being honest, being your own individual instead of trying to, you know, blend in and camouflage to bend and fold to fit everyone's needs. You know, I'm a Muslim. I'm going to walk my path as a Muslim, not as a Muslim in front of the believers, a Christian in front of my you know, Christian family and things of that nature. You know, who I am is who I am, regardless of who or what or the circumstance or where I'm at. And that's how I feel like being real is keeping it real.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Excellent. And Brother Yinyo.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question to you. You know, in your view, what is real?
I had to think about that. That's, look, I'm so glad this sister went first. All praise is due. when I think about that question, what is real, a lot of times we want to think, and we do believe that if we touch something, that's real because we can feel it and it exists. And I will add that I also think that real is something that has come into your knowledge. Mm-hmm. Take, for example, if perhaps you've never came into a certain species of a flower and you were always told of its rich aroma, but yet you never had the pleasure of taking in such an aroma. Didn't mean that it wasn't real. It just didn't resonate with you. So
perhaps that one blessed day you are given the opportunity to not only see this flower, but then you're able to take in the aroma, the scent of this flower that everyone else has had the opportunity to take in. So now you've been able to touch it, you've seen it, and now you've been able to have a scent, gain a scent of it. And now it's now real to you. And so it's a knowledge that also comes with it. So now when the person comes in contact with another individual, they can say, well, listen, I've seen this, I've touched this, I've smelled this, or I've read this. It's now real to them because it's almost like a testimony. And so that's how I kind of see what real is. I just think real has a basis in knowledge, and once that individual comes into that knowledge, it becomes real for them, and they can no longer ignore it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Very insightful. And General Jihad.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Assalamualaikum. Same question to you, brother. What is real?
Well, as soon as you asked that question, I mean, I automatically thought of the movie The Matrix.
Come on.
Like, you know, to me, real is that which is, like what Sister Deterra said, not sugarcoated, basically, you know. But we come into the full knowledge and understanding, like what the brother just said, of the world that we're living in and our condition. And we don't make excuses for why we're in this condition. We don't make excuses for why everything is the way it is. And not only that, but when we have something to counter that, for example, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that is real, meaning that it's nothing spooky, it's nothing out of this world. It's something you can touch, can feel, but at the same time, it's to the point where you're not living in the dream state. You don't have anything now to take you out of reality. For example, before we came into this, we were what? We were cokeheads, we were crackheads, we were prostitutes, we were on drugs, et cetera, et cetera. But we was using stuff and watching stuff on the television that would take us out of reality or the real world. In other words, we was plugged in, like in the movie The Matrix. We was plugged into the Matrix or the false reality of the dream world. However, one came, like Neo, Master Farah Muhammad, and he unplugged us. And now, just like, for example, Master Farah Muhammad, his father Alfonso, like in the movie, Brother Morpheus, you see what I'm saying? See the coalition? You know, now
yes,
we have the red pill.
The red pill,
which represents truth, or the red pill that represents the reality or the real world. And now we're out of the dream state. We're out of the false reality of the American dream or the American system, or like what people say. Like when people say, "I want to just keep it real" or "keep it 100," a lot of times. My question is, like, how can you keep it 100 if you're still plugged into a false reality? You ain't keeping it 100 because you don't even know what you're actually living in. Like, if you think for an instance, that the world of white supremacy that's around you is dead and gone, if you think for one second that in America you're not considered a nigger by the powers that be, or you think for one second that you actually have control of your life, then how can you keep it 100? How can you keep it real when you don't even know what really is real? So reality or the real world or what is real to me is when one comes into that irrefutable, undisputed, irresistible truth, the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the devil, and the knowledge of the universe and the time and what must be done. Once we come into that realization, and understand that this world that we're living in is a false world of dreams, a false world of hopes, and is dwelled upon lies, and it is built upon the false precept of white superiority and black inferiority. Once we understand that no matter how high you get in the white man's land, you will still forever will be known as a nigger. Once we understand that and understand that the real truth is that you are God, the real truth is that separation is the one and only solution, the real truth is that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is indeed the messenger of Allah today in our midst. Once we come into that real understanding, then that's when we will actually be able to keep it real and keep it 100 and tell our people and tell our enemies to their face that their time is up and our people, their time is about to begin.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So now before we move on to our next question, I see someone out here with their hand up. So I know there's a lot of folks with the 813 area code, but I'm going to area code 813, suffix 8862. Your mic is live. Area code 813, suffix 8862. Your mic is live.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Yes. Who's speaking?
Oh, this is Yael. I don't know what to say.
That's
say
my
what
sister.
Now? Oh, okay.
I just pressed one because the rest of you told me to, but I don't know what to say.
Assalamualaikum,
yo. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
We're glad to have you here.
Waalaikum salam.
Oh.
Are you enjoying the show?
Yes. I like the part about the one about the Matrix, like that one.
Beautiful.
All
praise due to Allah. Well, just stay with us, and hopefully some thoughts will come to your mind. We'll be glad to have you on. Glad to have you on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now we're gonna go to our second question. And on this one, I'm going to start with you, Brother Eugenio.
Yes, sir.
And it's real simple. You don't stress on it. It's just what comes into your mind from the knowledge that you have, you just share from your heart. The second question is, because as we said, our topic is, will the real Muslim please stand up? The question is, what is a Muslim?
I believe a Muslim, the first thing that does come to mind is a one word, and that as you say, that's just what comes quickly to your mind. And the first word that you said, the first word that I thought of was duty.
Hmm. Come on.
Yeah, just, that duty. And that duty, It is a 24/7, or like Mary J. Blige said, So, I mean, the duty is, I say it goes beyond even when your eyes are closed. When your eyes are open, you're still under that duty. When you're even sleeping, you're still in that duty. Because I got to tell you, I'll tell you this. I remember there was one time I was having a dream, and there was a brother that was standing next to me, and I had asked him, I said, "Brother, how do y'all pray to Allah?" And he said, "Well, brother, stand like this and hold your hands up like this." This is in a dream now. I'm having this in a dream, and I vividly remember how the brother was showing me how to put my feet together in the way that you're supposed to do it and hold your hands up. So the first thing I think about is duty, not only to yourself, but duty to the people who are in your life, duty, of course, first to God, to Allah, because without Him, man or woman wouldn't know about themselves. Because once you breathe into Him and you learn more about what He has in store for you, then you do become upright. You do straighten up. It's almost like it is true. He is your father. He is your first father. And to disappoint Him and just to, it's, you know, you're stepping off your duty, off the platform, when you come up short. But just know that you will have days where you are maybe sidestepping, but you just come back in line with it. You try not to. You learn what caused you to sidestep. Study it and learn so that you can stay on your duty, on your path, so that you can continue to move forward. So that's the one word that really came into mind when you asked that question, dear brother, is, for me, is duty.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. I mean, I can't argue with that. That's absolutely correct. And it's, you know, and I noticed, like you said, and that's a very good view and a good understanding of what a Muslim is, and even the word duty is the fact that, yes, as servants of God, as one who submits their will entirely to do the will of God, it does go beyond just during the waking hours. Everything that we do has to revolve around the creator of the heavens and the earth. And before I move on to the other panelists, we got someone with their hand up. I'm going to bring them on in. Area code 239, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum, my brothers and sisters.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, my name is Malik, and I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. And I would just like to, you know, talk about question one, the truth.
Yes,
and I would like to run it in with question one and question number two, if I may please.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, bro. Go right ahead.
Okay. And I'm just going to, like, give you a brief summary about what took place with me when I was in prison, because I just did 17 years, and I got out in 2011. And I like to just say that a brother approached me, and we was building together. I used to build with the brothers in Hebrew Israelites. And, you know, the brother told me to strip myself of everything and dwell, go deep inside my mind and my heart and soul, and there lies the key. And I traveled with these brothers throughout my stint in prison. And I went in, I was 18 years old. And throughout my travels, a brother approached me, Brother Yahya, with message to the black man. Now, me being, you know, young and wild, okay, I read the book, and then I just put it up under my mattress and like, man, I'll read it some other time, you know. And a couple years later, I went to another institution. So I got with some more brothers, and we were the youngest brothers on the compound. And as we stepped with divinity. And I noticed that the other brothers around me, no disrespect to them because I love my brothers. They were the Sunni brothers. And they used to just like attack us. And one night I was on my bed, and I was reading the message to the black man. I had the dictionary. I had the Bible, the Quran all around me, and the Final Call newspaper. And I went into what we call a trance, or they say sleep, or the dreamlike state. And during this state, my dear brothers and sisters, I woke to be in a place, and I just seen plush carpeting. I seen glass, crystals everywhere. And I seen quite a few people, but they was like spaced out, and it was just so peaceful and serene. And I walked to the window and I just seen it's like the galaxy, the stars, everything of life, and I was just so tranquil-minded. And as I approached further up, I seen someone sitting at the counter. Now, let me remind you, I never seen the most him until I seen him on the Midst of the Black Man. But what struck me as shocking was I got closer to one who was sitting at the counter. And when he looked up in the glass window, I seen the reflection and I saw him clear as day. And I never had seen Master Farouk Muhammad a day in my life. I never had seen a picture of Master Farouk Muhammad, excuse me, because I'm about to get emotional. And I never seen a picture of this dear holy man. And he looked up at me and he smiled. And I woke from my dream. And I was talking to her brothers, and months later, a final call came out with God Before God. And it was a picture. No, excuse me. A brother had the Muhammad Speaks, and he gave me that as a gift. And that was the first time I ever seen, laid my eyes on a picture of Master Farouk Muhammad. And from that moment on, that let me know that the path that I was journeying on, the path that I was on, as being a Muslim, meaning one of peace, one who submits himself to the will and the power of the Most High Creator, it let me know, my dear brothers, that I was on the right path. So as far as the truth, you know, it's several definitions to the truth, because you got brothers out here, they think that being 100 and being real is like being true to the streets and what they know, but they don't know that they are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, I talk to them, and, you know, and let me show you what real is, because I love my people. I don't care if they're my family. I don't care if they're my brothers, sisters, or my a woman that I've dealt with, and I just cut another one loose because of her inability to have compassion and love for her own people. And she was very disrespectful, but I let her know compassion. I say, well, my dear sister, I love you, and I'm a friend. But if I represent truth and I represent the divine nature of those who teach me, those who I follow, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was taught by Master Farouk Muhammad, then, my dear sister, I must cut you off. Because every time I turned around, you know, she was always like trying to badger us. And I said, well, this sister here is sick in the mind, so she needs help. And you see the truth. I laid the truth before. I let her watch my DVDs. I let her read my final call newspaper. I let her listen to the CDs. And, you know, she's like, she's getting in the groove. But like they say, woe to the hypocrites. So I know when I get attacked, I look at it, I smile in the face of my adversaries. I smile, and I know that truth, when a man stands on truth and you can look in your enemy eyes and tell them that they are the devil and tell them that what you stand for and what you represent is true and nothing can shake that foundation, then I know that the nation is true. Assalamu alaikum, my brothers and sisters.
Wa alaikum. Thank you, Brother Malik. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
I'll praise you to Allah. All right. We're going to move forward here. And I'm coming to you now, General Jihad.
Yes, sir.
What is a Muslim?
Well, first thing that came to my mind was three words: submission, obedience, and, I forgot the last third word, but, yeah, submission and obedience. And, and humility. Because, you know, we all, when we come in these teachings, you know, even before we came into the teachings, you know, we were real arrogant as a people. You know, nobody couldn't tell us nothing. You know, and even with the teachings, we became even more arrogant. But, you know, a Muslim isn't arrogant. A Muslim is one who is humble. And a Muslim is also one who doesn't mind accepting correction. Not to mention the fact, a Muslim is one who is completely obedient to the laws, statutes, and commandments of Allah himself. And it is obedient to Allah himself as well. So, therefore, to be a Muslim, you have to be willing to bow down into complete obedience to do the will of Allah. And, you know, and a lot, I know a lot of our brothers and sisters in different organizations, for example, the 5% Nation or those in the Afrocentric RBG, Red, Black, and Green community, I know they have a problem with that. Well, the thing is, you know, the problem is that we don't want to submit to another black man. That's the problem. It goes right back to that self-hatred mentality. It goes right back to the Willie Lynch syndrome. Even though people may say he didn't exist or whatever, the fact of the matter is that his blueprint was 100% real and is 100% real. And when it comes to a black man telling you to do something, or even Allah himself, who is a black man, telling you to do something, you still have a problem with that. And that's our problem. We think we're too arrogant to the point where we think or we believe that we are indeed the supreme being. We are not the supreme being. We are not the supreme being. We're not the supreme Allah. We all are Allah. We all are gods and goddesses. The book of Kings, I believe, says, yeah, all gods, children of the Most High God. So we are gods and goddesses. However, we must not ever get so caught up in our arrogance. The messenger told, the exalted Christ told the minister, he said, brother, you're not too heavy to the point where you can't. I believe he said, y'all know the quote. Y'all know where I'm getting at. What's the quote?
Step to the earth, brother. He told me.
Exactly. Step to the earth.
That's right.
You're not that heavy. We are not that heavy. Now, here's the Lamb of God telling that to the minister, the third one who is actually in power next to Master Farah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is telling him that. You're not too heavy that you can't step through the earth. Now, here we come with our baby knowledge, us who just got in this yesterday, and we think that not only we can step through the earth, we can step through the diameter and the diaspora of the universe. Who the hell do we think we are? We're that arrogant. But yet, you see, that's the problem. We don't want to submit, and we don't want to humble ourselves. And when we do that, when we submit, Allah will bless us for that. And that's where the whole thing becomes, that's what being a Muslim is all about, being humble and being able to submit to a higher power than yourself. Yes, you are God. Yes, you are a goddess. Yes, you are the king and queens and rulers of the universe. However, you did not create this. You did not create or make the 24 scientists who are in existence. You did not give birth to Master Farah Muhammad. So we have to be able to check that arrogance. And once we check that arrogance and be willing to submit and get on our hands and knees and bow down to the Lord of all the worlds, then therefore we'd be able to be a perfect Muslim. You know, that's why the messenger or the exalted Christ said about the minister, when he gets us across the other side, when he gets us there, he doesn't say, look what I have done. He said, look what Allah has done. And I noticed when I watch my spiritual father, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he never takes it upon himself to give himself any credit. All praise and all credit is always due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And once we study that man, and be just like him and humble ourselves like how he humbled himself and praise Allah 24/7 from sun up to sundown, not just when it's prayer time, but every single microsecond, then that's when we'll be able to actually put into full practice and put into full submission of being a Muslim. But until then, we ain't nowhere near where we should be.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm thoroughly enjoying what is being shared tonight. And
Brother Kareem.
Yes.
Yeah, Brother Kareem, may I please just make a statement before we move forward?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it'll be real quick. I wanted to comment to the brother. I think his name was Brother Malik, who called in, and I felt his message, you know, so much from here. And when he was talking about going into his dreams and seeing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what I must also, you know, stand in line with that testimony. I have found myself where I have read chapters of the Bible, and I have read chapters of the Holy Quran. And when I started reading the message to the black man, and I would sit there at night, and I would, especially that the message to the black man, it's a page-turner to the point where you just keep reading, you just keep reading and reading and reading until you realize, you say, wow, it's 5 in the morning, and I'm still wide awake, and you're still reading. And then when you do fall asleep, I did notice within myself and my subconscious, I would be transported to places that I have never gone to within my subconscious. And I would contribute that to reading the whole Quran, to reading the Bible and reading chapters through the message of the black man. So when that brother Malik said that, I definitely felt it. You know, so I just wanted to let him know, and I hope he is still listening, that I do share that, what he was saying, because I do feel it. But, yes, but that's all I wanted to say. Please continue.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, brother. And Queen Yatira.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking you, what is a Muslim?
Yes, sir. Well, I would just want to add on to what my brother said before me, both powerful and Brother Jihad, you started off, I thought you were going to say all three of my answers, but because when you first said the question, the first words that came
yes,
to my
ma'am.
Head, of course, it's mission.
Great man.
Right.
I apologize, Queen.
No, don't apologize. I'm just going to build on it. So,
yes, ma'am.
So, of course, submission came to my mind first, and then obedience, and then love and or action. And to me, you know, being a Muslim, looking at submissions and taking that, you know, further than just, you know, as broad as it can be. But to me, you know, when you submit, when you truly submit and when you are striving to be obedient to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, then you have to deny yourself. And I just think that when you're truly striving, that's something that, you know, it's a struggle, but that's something it's a big focus that we have to, you know, turn our own personal, you know, could be savage ways or whatever that we are used to doing or want to do or don't want to do, that we have to deny our own needs and wants, you know, to align ourselves with the will of Allah. And, along with the submission and obedience, you know, lastly was the love and action. And, you know, I put those together because love is an action which goes along with duty. but, you know, I just believe that being a Muslim, it's not only you, when you have that love for Allah and when you are submitting and when you are being obedient, I believe it opens up so many portals within yourself. And the love that comes that you release, it's huge. It's phenomenal. It's a love that you share amongst your family, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, people you don't know. You know, it's just you carry yourself. You walk and you're just glowing. You know, you truly want for others. Period. What you want for yourself. You're kind. Being a Muslim is just beautiful, you know, and I just really, I'm telling you, that love thing, I think that's something that is so powerful to me because with the love, you know, that comes a lot. Love, action, law, obedience, submission, like they all go hand in hand with one another. So when you're truly, you know, when you're being a real Muslim, you know, you're really submitting, you're really denying yourself, and you're really truly loving yourself, you're loving Allah, you're loving others. So I just think it's a, you know, it's a big ongoing circle, the circle of life, being a Muslim.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. I have to agree.
Okay.
And now, so we're gonna go from here and see. When I was coming up, I was told go get the dictionary and find out what the definition to that word was. However, using the current language which we use, we're going to clear a couple of words here. According to Webster, when you look the word real up, there are many definitions to it. However, those that are pertinent to what our topic is tonight, will the real Muslim please stand up? It describes real or defines real as of or relating to fixed, permanent, or immovable things, not artificial, fraudulent, or illusory. Genuine, precisely what the name implies, from the Latin realis, in law, from the Sanskrit rei, fact or property, and they define Muslim as an adherent of Islam, literally one who submits to God. And we have been given, and we, of course, we know that being a Muslim, now everything in creation is Muslim because, as Allah tells us in Quran, you will submit willingly or unwillingly. However, to really have that name, and you notice, I want to share this with you from our Savior has arrived by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, wherein he states, and this is in chapter 18 of Our Savior Has Arrived on page 92. And it's entitled, Be Yourself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad states, Allah's great teaching and warning to us, the so-called Negroes, is be yourself. What is our own self? He answers that. Your own self, notice the language, is a righteous Muslim. So he qualifies Muslim with the word righteous. Born of the tribe of Shabazz. He taught us that we are the original people of the earth. We have no birth record. He calls on us to submit to him, that he would set us in heaven at once. He has made it clear what constitutes heaven on earth. Freedom. Let me repeat that, for I got to say that again. He has made it clear what constitutes heaven on earth. Freedom, justice, equality, money, good homes, and friendship in all walks of life. This Christianity cannot give us, not the Christianity that has been taught to us. Let's be clear. He says, this Christianity cannot give to us, not the Christianity that has been taught to us. So, when we look at this, and we look at what a Muslim is, we are taught, as students of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and indeed as students of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, because there are a lot of camps out there. And I don't get into mudslinging because we got enough of that. We need our unity. That's something that we got to have. However, you can't unify, or I'm not going to unify with you unless you accept the truth. The truth of who the reminder is. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. But we are taught that Muslim is, in other words, what distinguishes a righteous Muslim from just the term or the principle of Muslim is that a righteous Muslim is one who willingly submits their will to do the will of Almighty God Allah. Yes, just as Brother Yahinu was talking about duty, just as Brother Jihad was talking about obedience, just as Queen Yatira was talking about the love that is necessary. All these things, when you are operating on that level and with those principles, then everything you do, even down to the time you, when you go to bed and close your eyes, your thoughts are on the Creator and how you can serve the Creator or better serve the Creator. Now, we're going to really get into this. And we just described in so that I can, or that we, not I, but we can really get some light shed on this. If you notice, I asked the first question is, what is real? And you, Queen Eteria, said that basically what is real is something that's not false, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So then in our green book, The Restrictive Law of Islam is Our Success, given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, under the section entitled Guiding Rules of Conduct, Good Manners That Protect Good Morals, point number 5 states, no lying, speak the truth regardless of circumstance. Now, I'm going to ask the question, is, y'all can all answer it once if you want to. Doesn't that really sound like what real is?
Isn't that keeping it 100?
No lying. That means no lying on any level. That means, and the first individual I need not to lie to is myself. I need to accept the truth of myself. And in accepting the truth of myself, then I can apply these teachings as we have been given them. And I know a lot of people hear us talk about the teachings. Well, what do you mean the teachings? The teachings. Well, yes, you hear us talk about the lessons and other things, and some of these things may seem that they're getting to be what people would use the term metaphysical. But the basic teaching, the basic thing that we have to do in practical application of these teachings is how we treat one another. How do I treat my brother and my sister? How do I treat those in my community? And my community meaning those whom I come in contact with each and every day. Or my efforts designed to better my life and better the lives of those around me? Or am I just in this selfishly, quote unquote, like I see a lot of individuals who claim to be about this work, but in the final analysis, their mind is on making a dollar. So now that having been said, we're going to move to our third question, and I'm going to start with you, Queen Eteria. Based on the above two definitions of one of what is real and what is Muslim, and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what effect will the presence of a real Muslim have on and in the community?
What was the second word? What does it?
I'm sorry, sister. What?
I didn't hear the second word.
Okay, I'm gonna just read the entire thing. It says, based on the above two definitions, what is real and what is a Muslim, and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what effect would the presence of a real Muslim have on and in the community?
Oh, yes, sir. Wow, that's a good question. I believe that the community would, I think obviously there would be a change in the community. Now, the changes would be, in my opinion, pretty much the resurrection of the dead. So people would be seeing how we live, you know, what we say we believe, people would see us actually acting it out and have something to actually look at and, you know, to look at and say, I'm interested, or what is this about, or, you know, see an interest in something. So the community, I think, would brighten. It would, you have people rising, you have people wanting to join on, you have people awakening, asking questions, whether they want to be a part of the nation or not. You know, they would be awakened, and then the thirst for knowledge would start to come over them. And I believe that, you know, over time the communities would begin to pretty much get cleaned up, you know, because if you have this example in front of you all the time, and it starts off with maybe one example, and then you have a few more join on. You have a few more. So as it builds, you know, we're attracted to that. We are attracted to the righteous. We are attracted to that. So, you know, again, whether people just start joining on to the nation or not isn't, you know, that's not necessarily the point. But just to see that, wow, you know, these people look just like me, and this is what they're doing, and I want to be a part of that, or, you know, I just want to say that I know them, or, you know, things of that nature. So I really feel that, you know, Muslims in a community who are real Muslims striving under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad would definitely make a difference in any community, you know, if it's already a pretty decent community, but maybe it's lacking morals and principles, you know. So there's always something that the community would be able to take from, you know, striving Muslims. So I hope I've answered that question.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. And Queen Aziza. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Sir. I was trying to get your attention to let you know that I have my Google and my Yahoo chat open, and you did have some questions. Whenever
yes,
you were
ma'am.
Ready to take them, sir.
Well, we can start with them right now, and then we'll, you know, we don't want to hold them up. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We have a question from Carrie. And Carrie says, what is a real Muslim? What is a fake Muslim? Who can tell?
Oh, wow.
What is a real Muslim? What is a fake Muslim? And what else?
And who can tell?
And who can tell? Oh. I'm gonna turn that over to the general first.
We don't have a fire extinguisher.
that's all right. I got the headline system ready to go.
Okay.
Oh boy, y'all funny. Well, okay. Wow, that's a good question. Well, the real Muslim, I'm gonna just try my best to sum it all up. A real Muslim, like I said earlier, is, of course, one who submits to do the will of Allah, but that's a very broad way of putting it. A real Muslim is also one who literally practices what he preaches. For example,
mm-hmm.
like we had, like I said on the last show I was on this past Saturday, mm-hmm. I think it was Saturday, but for example, when we say, I want for my brother and sister what I want for myself, you put that into practice. When you say, I bear witness, there's no God but Allah who appeared to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and you put that into practice, meaning that you're not putting no false deities or no false other gods but Allah. When you say that Muhammad is his messenger, you're bearing witnessing to that of which Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah and what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us. And you put those into practice. When you literally take lip profession and put it into a physical manifestation, that's how you can tell who is a real Muslim. Now, you will have those, however, you will have those who will come and they will do what is called lip professing, meaning that they will say, oh, I want for my brother and my sister what I want for myself, but they won't practice that. They're selfish, they're inconsiderate, they're conniving, and they're just downright wicked. Then you have those who sit there and say, okay, as far as I want a wife, I want a husband. Therefore, there's proper ways and guidelines we should go about when getting a wife and a husband. A real Muslim will put in a courtship request for the sister or brother that he or she wants to court. A real Muslim will go talk to the brother or the sister captain, and, you know, we go on for that process. So forth and so on. That's what a real Muslim would do. And a real Muslim wouldn't mind having an escort when they're actually, you know, engaging with one another. However, you have a fake Muslim who wants to do the sly, slick, willy stuff. A fake Muslim who wants to talk to a brother or talk to a sister on the sly and let no other higher authority know that they're communicating. A slick Muslim or a fake Muslim will also try to be very vulgar in the manner of discussion with that particular sister or brother, a fake Muslim or a fake Muslim will also try to manipulate the sister or manipulate the brother into getting what they want sexually or what they want inside that particular person's pockets. So we have lots of rules and guidelines that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us. We have the Bible, we have the Holy Quran, we have the books and the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that was stuff that he has given us. We have study guides. We have mountains and mountains and mountains of literature. And if we don't apply none of those, none of the rules, statutes, and commandments that they have given us, then that will determine who was real and who was fake. And when you don't see them practicing what they preach, like, for example, you go to the mosque and you see an FOI, but the brother smells like he's been smoking weed. His brother smells like he's been smoking cigarettes. You smell alcohol on a sister's breath. You can tell who's real and who's fake. And then you have those who come in the mosque try to make excuses why they don't want to come to the mosque and try to put the blame on a captain or a blame on a lieutenant or on a minister and say, oh, well, brother so-and-so doing me wrong. No, I'm ashamed. Brother so-and-so doing me wrong. Sister so-and-so ain't treating me right. I don't like the way she look at me. But yet, when you go to their raggedy-ass house, you see nothing but swine everywhere. You see pounds of cocaine. They got a white woman in their closet. You got cigarette butts lit over there. You got alcohol in the kitchen. Well, damn, no wonder you don't want to come to the mosque. It ain't sister so-and-so. It's you. Accept your own to be yourself, like my brother said. You're what is yourself? It's a righteous Muslim, meaning that we have restrict the laws that we should go by. We have Muslim conduct that we should go by. We have 24 aims and principles of Islam. We have all these things. So if you're not doing none of those things, but yet you're walking around here saying assalamu alaikum in your suit and your bow tie, your headpiece and your garment, then damn it, you're fake as hell. So, yeah, that's how you determine what's real and what's fake.
Okay. Wow. Amen. Hallelujah.
I can't add nothing to that. That's the answer.
You know what? I was gonna add something to that. I was, but I changed my mind. No.
I'm
just not gonna go there. But okay.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-uh. So I pray to Allah that we answered was Carrie.
Oh yeah, that question was answered very well. You have a couple of more, so let me know when you're ready to take them.
We'll take at least one more, then we're gonna move forward. And then those who are there, please stay with us because we're gonna get to your question. We're gonna take one more question.
Okay, I'm going to save this other question for later because Brother Jihad ain't ready. aren't all original people Muslims are all original people Muslims and all religions that practice submission to God?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to come to you, Queen Yeteri. You want to field that question, or should I?
Well, I think you're equipped than I am for that question.
So, you know, I'm just working to get everybody to come, you know, to come on out and open up and spread your wings. However, I will answer that question. And we discussed that earlier in our talk. The bottom line is that we are taught that everything in creation is Muslim in the sense, as we discussed before, that as Allah states in Quran, you will submit willingly or unwillingly. So see, everything in creation will ultimately submit. And we are taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as was given to him by Master Faraz Muhammad, that all original people are Muslims by nature, that it is in us to submit to do the will of God. However, that we have been poisoned, and so we act out of our nature. That's why we have to be taught to accept our own and to be ourselves. You know, and again, everything in creation is Muslim in the sense that everything submits to the will of Almighty God, period. However, we as human beings are in a unique position because we can choose to rebel and go against our nature and not submit to a degree. However, at some point, we are all going to submit because I'll say this. I tell people this all the time. People that tell me they're not going to submit to nothing, I say, well, can you stop yourself from dying? Because you will die one day. So, see, you will submit willingly or unwillingly. The difference is that when you submit willingly, which is what a righteous Muslim is, one who submits their will willingly to do the will of God, you get to reap great, great benefits. You get to enjoy your walk on this planet. You know, and so that would be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So that being the case, we're going to, now, I want to come to, I'm going to go to Brother Eugenio on this third question next. You ready, brother?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And again, I'm going to state it again. Based on the above two definitions of what we established, what is real and what is a Muslim, and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what effect would the presence of a real Muslim have on and in the community?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I know a lot of my friends and family always love hearing my examples. And the first thing that came to mind, back in New Orleans, sometimes, I mean, in any street, in any corner, or any city street here in the United States, you're going to have those rough streets. And I recall going down a rough street, and it was the longest block. It just seemed like it just went on for 5 miles. But one of the things, it was dark at night. It was dark at night. But one of the things that helped me out that one night as I was walking down that street was that a street light came on. Just one street light came on. And when that street light came on, it just made me feel better. I just felt at ease. I was calm. All because of a street light just coming on. And so as I'm moving forward, I'm thinking about that. And as the Queen was stating, that righteous Muslim is an example, just like that street light. That righteous Muslim has a knowledge, he has a truth, a message, just like that street light. No, the street light did not speak to me, but it caught my attention. And that's how that righteous Muslim can be. He, she possessed this knowledge that I don't want to say the average person, but just probably the individual who hasn't had the pleasure to hear those beautiful teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or our national representative, Louis Farrakhan. But when you see that Muslim, even when you see the MGT, when you see our beautiful queens, you look, the visual, because the first thing we'll see is that visual. I'm always telling people this in art. When you look at those elements and principles, you will see something. You use all of those senses. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You still on?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you will see, you will get those visuals. And that visual of the dress, the posture with the men and the women. Just like the national representative gave yesterday during his speech in Indianapolis,
when he told the story about Elijah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where he brought one woman from out the crowd up, not to embarrass her or not to put her on the spot, but to go side by side comparing the two. And when you, when you're in society, you're not exposed to the truth through the Nation of Islam. You just think everything is just, oh, everything is just fine. You know, I could just keep going and doing this way. But then once you are presented with the truth from these individuals who have, who are an example, then sooner or later the example starts to build. It can't stay with one person. It builds up to the next person, then the next, then the next. It starts to multiply. That's what the enemy fears. Oh, man, these people are getting this message. We can't have that. Shut down the Twitter. No, no, we'll do better. Don't shut them down. Let's monitor them. That's okay. Monitor, follow. But the example will continue to be there. And we will continue to see them, men and women. And when you see that, it will, that sight will resonate in you. It takes a place in your subconscious, in your thoughts, and you carry it with you. And you never forget it, as I have never forgotten that night walking down that long street, that dark alley, with that one street light. So that's how I see it. It is an example, a bright light, both men and women, but they receive that light from another person who received it from another person and from another person. What a beautiful, look at that mathematics right there. We wouldn't have none of that if the Master Farad Muhammad, who came as God in person, count that as one. He looked around, found Elijah Muhammad. Now you got two. Then build up the Nation of Islam. Sure, we had a little, what, wait, we tripped off a little rock in the, what, 1975, 76? But look where it is. Look at our beautiful brother. Look at that beautiful example we saw yesterday on Sunday in Indianapolis. What a great example. But that's all I have to say, sisters, brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. Thank you. All right. It seems that,
I have something I want to say to Brother Eugenio.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. You know that.
Brother Eugenio, I am so, so very upset with you. I just want you to know that I don't talk about people behind their back. I tell them to their face and on the air. Because Brother Eugenio has played so shy with me. I've asked him numerous of times to be on the show. And then all of a sudden, here you are. Praise be to Allah. It is so good to hear you. But I'm still mad at you. I just want you to know. And I said that with love.
Now, see, I can take that for my auntie right there. I can take that, but I can take constructive critique. But the brother Kareem caught me at the last minute, and he can tell you, because even I was trying to say, whoa, brother Kareem, I am nowhere near the stature of your panelists. Please, I'm sure you would want somebody else than me. But he got right back on me. He said, brother, it's almost like I saw his message. Somehow it was very timely, especially what happened with me over the weekend. And Allah just works in mysterious ways. And Allah is just trying to reaffirm. He said, Eugenio, I need you. My people need you. All praise is due to it. Eugenio, the people need to hear you, and they need to see your work. You can't do it where you are. So when Brother Kareem said that, I said, all right, okay. He got me at the last minute, so maybe that's what it's going to take, probably catching me 5 minutes before the show starts, where I can't back out. So I said, no. Let me go and do it. I can't use the word duty as an example and then hide in the shadows. But I said, you know what? Perhaps I've this network has given to me so much. It's only not only fair, but it's now my duty now to step up and now allow my voice to be heard from such individuals who I've heard their voice for several months now and have given so much to me and have added to my knowledge. I don't know where I would be without this network. So all praise is due to Allah.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Yes. Well, that's beautiful. All right, now I've got some people on the line, so I'm going to take a question here or a comment. Area code 973, your mic is live. Area code 973, your mic is live.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, how is everyone doing? I was listening, and it's a wonderful thing. And the only thing that I wanted to say was with the question in the community is when you're saying in the community, a community consists of, you know, stores, a community center, and other things, you know, of course, mayor's office, blah, blah, blah. But the main thing is a community center. In a community center, it's supposed to be a place where the people can come to learn, study, learn, you know, musical instruments, whatever. A community center is supposed to be that way. From what the minister, Louis Farrakhan, says is that the mosque, we're supposed to make the mosque a community center. Now, I just started coming into this knowledge. I just joined the Nation of Islam, but I'm seeing things that aren't really happening as far as the people in the community knowing anything about the Nation of Islam. When I'm not saying all mosques, but where I am, I had no idea about them until I joined. Like, you understand what I'm saying? And
yes, ma'am.
And now that I'm here, I have been trying to get others to understand that the mosque is supposed to be a community center, and there's things that we need to do in order for the people to know that we're here and to teach them about what better way for us to teach them about what we're doing if we don't make this mosque a community center, the way, like, you know, Boys and Girls Club is, YMCA, that type of thing. That's how a mosque is supposed to be. We're supposed to be able to, you know, do some things to get this nation building the way it's supposed to. That's all I wanted to say. But everything is good. I'm liking what I'm hearing. I just wanted to say that.
Yes, ma'am. And who are you, sister, if you don't mind identifying yourself?
Oh, Etosha Hinton, X.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So, assalamu alaikum,
everyone.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Brother Kareem. Sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can I please add on to that, to that beautiful sister's last statement? I'll be real quick.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just see once again, see how Allah works. He always he always just, now see, where would I be if I wasn't here tonight? Now that sister just now, that sister just came right on after me. One of the things that Allah put into my spirit, into my mind, was that when you build an art center. For the last couple of months, I've been looking around Atlanta, Georgia, trying to get other artists together, other teachers together, just like that dear sister was talking about building up the community. Other races have it. Other groups have it. They have their community centers. They have their little centers where they go and they teach their history. And one of the things that I know that our black people have lacked is the arts and culture. Now, that is one of the ministries in the Nation of Islam, the arts and culture. And that is something, if you ask me, should really be, I mean, it incorporates all the other ministries, the art and culture. We would not know anything about the Mayan civilization, ancient Egypt, Kemet, if it wasn't for their art and their culture.
Mm-hmm.
All of that falls into it. And when you bring in arts, where is it? Music, cooking, dance, all of that energizes not only the adults, but especially the youth. And when these centers can be built, they become a beacon where our people can gravitate to, where on every day of the week,
mm-hmm.
something is happening. Something is going on at these art centers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been told by many other artists here, oh, Henyo, that's not going to work. Come on, you know our people are not going to get together. Well, I'm not going to do a nonprofit then. Perhaps I'm going to have to get some investment. Well, I don't know, Henyo. They're going to be asking you for more money, and they're going to want to take your blood through that. Listen, I trust in the vision that Allah gave me. It has to be a reason why he brought me back to my art,
mm-hmm.
and took me away from corporate America. And so that is coming. I'm saying it right now. This is me, Eugenio, and that art center will come, whether it'll be something that's next to a mosque, or perhaps it will actually be incorporated with the mosque where those type of classes will be done on a daily basis. I don't see why it wouldn't happen.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Why not? Those things should happen. All these other races have it. We will have it too. I just had to touch on that because that beautiful says that look, when I notice things, I pick it up. And just after I just had my talk about that beacon in the off the street, and then this beautiful sister here, who's new into the nation, she came and she spoke, and I heard that community center, boom. I said, sister, you and I, we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. All praise is due to Allah.
All praise is all indeed due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Eugenio, and thank you, sister. And Brother Jihad, you back with us?
Brother Jihad said that he had to attend to something, but please excuse him.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All praises to Allah. I understand we want to thank him for joining us for the time that he could join us and sharing with us the wisdom of Allah that he did share. Okay. Area code 901. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you all doing this evening?
Salam,
my sister. How you doing? Praise be to Allah. I wanted to just chime in, let you all know that you are much loved for all your wisdom and knowledge this evening. Sister Diatoma, a.k.a. Sister Jamie X. As far as I wanted to make a comment to the sister as well as to Brother Hindu. as far as what the sister said is about being a community center. Well, when you say a center is a yoke which binds, binds us to one another.
That's
and
right.
If the mosque is to be the center and the, or the bonding of the community, then we as a people remember that the mosque, and my brother always say this, Brother Kareem, love you much, big brother, that the mosque is not a building. The mosque is you. What you take into the street, what you take to the people, you are to exhibit what you learn from a building, a structure. The structure that's there is only there for us to come get our healing and then go out to the people. The community is not in the building. The community is where is at, in the streets. So we are to be, the center is to be the building when we come together to be healed. But our duty, our goal, our focus is to be in those streets, suited and booted, soldiered up, getting our people, bringing them to get their healing as well, whether it's the church, the mosque, or whatever it is, and then us going back out to that community. All praise is due to Allah. And as far as you, brother, in Hindu, if you are serious about that art center, I know several private funders, art people that you can get with. There are a lot of minority private funders that will help you. Once, only thing, once you get the, your 501c3 up and running and everything going, and I can help you with that, be it the will and grace of Allah, if this is what you mean, if this is what you want, I can help you do that. Then we can also start applying for those private grants, private loans from these private corporations and private companies. And there's this one really huge art foundation that's out there that gives over $20,000 a year to minority art programs that's sitting out there. The problem is, see, we perish for lack of knowledge because we don't understand what's out there. We don't know what's available to us. All we got to do is move. Allah will open and bless the doors to what's out there. I want to share a story, a gift that happened to me today, as a matter of fact, and I'm going to be really quick, and then I'm going to go ahead and go. I was just sitting at my shop, and I, you know, it's been very slow lately, but I said, you know what, I like your will, not mine, your will, not mine. And I've been seeing that all day today. And as I'm sitting in my shop, the phone ring, and, you know, I give them my business info, and they say, she say, yes, I'm looking for a photographer, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, and I said, well, this is not that company, but how can I help you? I do photography. And the sister gets to telling me what all she need, what all she wanted, and I said, well, I do offer those services, and I told her what all I do. See, sometimes God needs to keep us still and make us be still so that we can understand he's guiding us into our blessings that we need to hear, that we need to obtain. All we got to do is be still. Focus on what's around us. Take care of what's in front of us. Allow him to bring down the blessings. I must say, I got that contract. Not only am I going to do her photography, but I'm doing her programs and her invitations for her wedding. All praises due to Allah. But you know, so but what I'm trying to say is we got to walk out in faith. But see, faith without works is death. So if we don't go out there and if we don't take the blessings that Allah has given us by the rings, then we're not going to move. One thing, because I work with a lot of business owners. I help do marketing, you know, all that good stuff with businesses. I help them get started, all their plans, marketing plans, business plan, the whole shebang. And what I've noticed with us as black people is that, please make the eight now. What I've noticed about us as black people is that we start. We real good at starting a race. You know, we get little stamina, we moving, we pushing. And then as soon as we hit a little hill or hit a little mountain or whatever you want to call it, then that stamina tends to dwindle. It tends to go. It tends to remove itself. And then we say, oh, well, I tried to get up this hill, but you know what? I'm going back to the lower plane because it's easier to walk on the lower plane. I'm not going to even try to attempt the mountain. But in Surah 90, it says, what makes me attempt the uphill road? You know, I love this surah. Surah 90 is one of my favorite surahs. And I'm going to read from Surah 7. It's it says, it says, and pointed out to him the two conspicuous ways, but he attempts not the uphill road. And what would make thee comprehend what the uphill road is? It is to free a slave. Now,
If the uphill road is to free a slave, why do we not tend to get up that uphill road? Because we as a people don't want to let loose a Pharaoh. We don't. It's easier to say, Master, give me some bread. It's easy to say, Master, give me a job. It's easy to say, Master, show me where I need to go or tell me what I need to do. It's easy. But when you out here, you getting this payment, you going up that uphill road, and you attempting to free yourself a slave mentally, financially, emotionally, physically, then you see the blessings of Allah, because God said, I own it all. So in my father's house are many mansions, are many rooms. So in my father's house, I'm free. Then why am I still holding on to what's going to keep me a slave? Black people, let go and believe and know and move according. This brother was crying the other day on Facebook about being hurt, like I've been doing, but I don't never see this. First of all, stop crying. That's first of all. Do it. Just do it. Keep doing it. Know that the futation is going to come. I ain't going to lie, I'm a crybaby myself. Praise be to Allah. But know that the futation is going to come. Know that Allah got our back. Know that all we got to do is just keep on moving. Like the sisters say, unite with like-minded people. Get out there in community. Everybody ain't in the mosque that say As-Salaamu Alaikum is a true believer. It states that in the Quran. Everybody in a church that say, I love my Jesus, is not a true follower of Christ. It states that in the Bible. So we can't sit up there and look at titles. We can't sit up there and look at situations. We got to see the work that's being done amongst the people and get out there with the ones that's doing the work, connect with the ones that's doing the work, move according to the way they're moving, and then that's it. Allah bless the rest. See, we can't worry about what ain't being done. We got to worry about what we doing. Focus on what's in front of us, and Allah bless us with the rest. As-Salaamu Alaikum. I didn't want to take long, but all praise be to Allah.
As usual, you better teach. As usual, you better teach.
Oh, that was beautiful there.
Oh, beautiful. Queen Aziza.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. And thank you, Sister Jamie, a.k.a.
No, thank you for having me. Love you, brother. Always. It's a pleasure.
Before I go to the last question, which you talk about fire extinguishers and water, this one gonna do it. But before I go to that last question, I want to take some more questions from the chat.
Oh yeah, I have one that I'm gonna ask. Okay, y'all ready?
Yes,
y'all
yes,
ready?
Ma'am.
Okay, Ken 2. Does he say his name is Ken number 2? Why does the Nation of Islam think they are the only ones that have the truth? Okay, I'm going to shut up.
Lord have mercy.
I'm going to shut up.
Well, okay.
Do y'all want me to shut up? Just tell somebody to just tell me to shut up.
You can go
ahead. Somebody tell me to shut up. That ain't gonna come out right.
I'm not gonna tell you to shut up. What I'm gonna say is, as the host of the show, I will field that question. Okay. I'm gonna field that question, and why does the Nation of Islam think that they're the only ones that have the truth? Well, first of all, let me say this. To the individual asking that question, it is evident, and you will get a better understanding and better knowledge if you go to the books given to us, which contain the teachings given to us by God Himself, as given to us by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad states both Message to the Black Man and in his series that he taught, The Theology of Time. And you will find that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states that we don't, that's not something that we believe, that we are the only ones that have the truth. That would be arrogant completely. Now, however, let me state this. If you look at every quote-unquote organization, that came up in the 60s. I'm just going to name a few. SNCC, CORE, and the most prominent of those, the Black Panthers, you will find that each and every one of them's principles and their entire organization was based on the principles laid down by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad.
We
as real Muslims don't believe we have the truth. We know we have the truth, and the reason we know we have the truth is because of the results we get when we apply this truth in a practical manner.
That's right.
That's how we know we have the truth.
Tell it.
Again, as I said, all these other organizations, and even today, for example, you have an entire industry today known as the health food industry. People are, all of a sudden, everybody's talking about holistic. Oh, we're going to get holistic, and we're going to get natural. Came straight out of two books. Came out of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, particularly when he taught to the women's class, the MGT and GCC, and then placed in the books, books one and two, How to Eat to Live. See, we know we have the truth. And to sum it up, what other, and I'm using this word loosely now because we're not an organization, but we'll use that terminology. What other organization do you know that the powers that be, the United States government, destroyed and came back to capture or surpass their former glory? None except that which we call the Nation of Islam. And as a matter of fact, we weren't destroyed once, we were destroyed twice. Which shows you the power of the God we serve and the truth which we have. So if you really want to know why we know we have the truth, it is my suggestion, not out of arrogance, truly in humility, study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Just get the one book. Get Message to the Black Man. Don't just do a cursory reading of it. Study it, and then apply what it says in your life, and you tell me.
That's right.
You tell me what it is. I'll say this, and I'm going to leave this particular question alone. It's like when individuals come to me and they ask me, well, it says in the Bible, why come you don't eat pork? And it says that if you pray over this, fine. Okay, I'll say this. Since if you pray over it, it's fine, go get a bottle of arsenic and pray over it and you drink it. The other thing is this. If you can show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ate the pig, cook me a plate of it. I'm ready to go. Show me where Jesus himself ate it. Show me where he ate it, and I'm ready for a plate. And we're going to leave that question alone because now we can ready to go to our final question.
I only have one response to what you said, Brother Kareem. Just one response.
You go ahead.
Boom.
Yes, ma'am. All praise due to Allah. Now, I'm going to preface this last question because I know it's going to take up the end of the show. I'm going to preface it out of that wonderful book by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Message to the Black Man in America. It's on page 174, where the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad states this. He states, know thyself and be yourself. Islam makes a true brother to brother. If this be true, how can a believer, Muslim, be a true brother to another believer and boycott his brother and support the enemy? The believers in truth, Islam, must stop looking up to the white race for justice and take the following steps to correct this problem. Acknowledge and recognize that you are a member of the Creator's nation and act accordingly. This action in the name of Allah requires you, me, as a Muslim, the emphasis in the me is I said that, as a Muslim, to set an example for the lost found, your brothers in the wilderness in North America. This requires action and deed, not words and lip service. The following blueprint shows the way. One, recognize the necessity for unity and group operations activities. Two, pool your resources physically as well as financially. Three, stop one-time criticism of everything that is black-owned and black-operated. Four, keep in mind jealousy destroys from within. Five, observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. Secondly, and you may have heard this before, you know, problem 13. Well, know the godfather of young kids in the black isn't on this moment, but he represents this so well. And this is problem 13 out of the original rules of instruction to the laborers. I'm only going to read a part of it because it has to do with our last question. It states, after learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendship in all walks of life. It states, sit yourself in heaven at once. That is the greatest desire of your brother and teachers. And teachers, yes. Didn't just say teacher, it say teachers. And now we come to the final question. And Queen Jeterra, you with us?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Final question. Or I don't know how they say it on Jeopardy. Wasn't it Alex Trebek? No, here we go.
Is that your final answer?
This is, yes. This is the question. Are you a real Muslim? And how do you know?
Yes. Yes, I am. Because I am striving every day. I am striving to submit. I am striving for obedience. I am striving for that oneness with Allah and the love and my actions and my duty with Allah first, with myself and with my fellow believers and for the lost found members of the Nation of Islam in the wilderness of America. I am here and I am working. I am working my goal. I am working it on social sites. I'm working it at work. I mean, I'm working. I'm doing what I can. And I'm, like I said, I'm striving. I'm striving. I don't lip profess just to be talking, just to hear myself talk, or just to talk for anybody else's health. This is what I believe. This is what I know. This is what I love. This is my life. And I've had to cut people off, and people still going to have to get cut off because there ain't no way anybody coming between me, my God, my belief, my people. So all praise is due to Allah, coming from a real Muslim.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir.
We need applause. I don't have no canned applause, so but we need some applause for that because that's real. That's real.
Exactly. And
welcome to you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Same question to you, sir. Because, see, I got to answer this question, too.
I have to, one of the things that, just as the dear sister Queen just stated, I'm also striving. And it's a never-ending journey. It's like this phrase I use, thought leads to expression. Expression leads to growth. Growth leads to change. And change leads to enlightenment. There was a time in my life where
I was bent. I was not thinking clearly. I didn't see, couldn't see clearly, didn't speak correctly. Until I was told, Eugenio, seek my messenger. I had no clue who that was. I had to go on my journey in order to find him. And by finding him, he's helping me to discover myself. And it's a journey where every day, every hour, you are striving to do the correct things, because we are, I don't want to say program, we are just born that way. Sure, you're going to sidestep, but understand why you did it, correct it, so that it doesn't happen again. We strive for those things to hold our head up. You never want a lot. Not too many teenagers today want to do it, but and perhaps I'm just speaking out. But a lot of you don't want to disappoint your parents. Well, you don't want to disappoint Allah, especially when He pretty much grabs you by the arm or by the back of the neck, pulls you up, and says, "Son, I need use of you. Go out here. You have an ability. These people have an ability. Seek them out. They'll seek you, and in turn." So, yes, it is striving every day to meet such great challenges, but challenges that we, men and women, that we meet with our chests out, with our heads up. Because it's just the right thing to do. I can't find any other word for it. It's just the right thing. It's just the right thing to do.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And Sister Jamie, are you still with us?
You already know I was about to tune in for that one. All praise is due to Allah.
Come on.
Yes,
answer. Yes, come on. And how do you know?
I bleed Islam. You heard me? Bleed it. I know I'm a Muslim because I love Allah fully, truly, honestly, no doubt. No matter what I've been through and no matter what I'm going through and no matter how He take me through the ringers and back again, and trust me, I'm a bear witness. I've been through HE double hockey stick hell. I've been through it. But all praise is due to Allah. It has grown me these last 9 years. When I tell y'all, if I told y'all half of my story, growing up in the projects of Chicago, Illinois, gang bang, sold drugs, did it all. I did it. Super soldier, even back then, I did it. But I thank Allah every day for saving me, for removing me, and save for myself, from taking me, growing me, molding me, making me, putting me through it, beating me, and making me a true soldier. I am a witness for Him, and I don't change or take away from none of it. I thank Him every day. I have given up on, I have walked away from friends and family, not given up, excuse me for that, walked away from friends and family that didn't have my best interests at heart. I've been in this thing a long at times, but I also have true believers with on my side at times too. And all in all, I had to forgive and forget those who stabbed me in my back, who talked about me, who tried to do everything they can to get me up out of this nation. But still today, by the will and grace of Allah, I stand strong. So I'm a Muslim to the core by the will and grace of Allah, and I pray I live and die that way for the rest of my life. I bleed Islam. All praise is due to Allah.
Okay. ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Appreciate that. That's right.
Yep.
The Queen of Pizza. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. And I know better than to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
Are you a real Muslim, and how did you know?
Woo! Well, because I remember when I wasn't.
Yes, ma'am. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
I remember what I said I was. And I remember when I lived other than what I said I believed. And that's because I took these teachings that I've had all my life for granted. But one thing that lets me know that I'm Muslim is that every brick wall that I was supposed to run into when I was out there doing what I thought I wanted to do, I always had that protective hedge.
That's
Allah
right.
never let me go even when I let go. So that's how I know. I'm not going to even start on my story. We don't even have enough time. But that's how I know, Brother Kareem.
All praises be
my
to
life,
Allah.
Yes, my death, my prayer, my sacrifice are all for Allah.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And like I said, I also have to answer that question, too. I can't leave myself out. And as it says, are you a real Muslim? And how do you know? Yes, I am a real Muslim. And the way that I know it is because with every breath I take, with every thought I think, with every action that moves forth from me, first and foremost, I ask Allah for his guidance and I move out. I know I am a Muslim, a real Muslim, because in all humility, I have to say that every individual that Allah brings me in contact with, every situation that I'm involved in, I have an impact that helps to move and develop the people and the individuals in that situation to move forward in a positive manner. Is it because of me? No. It's because I am a real Muslim. I know I'm a real Muslim because I submit my will 100% to do the will of Allah. I want to thank everybody who's joined us on the panel. I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room and online. It's been wonderful. Queen Aziza, can we get the lineup for the week?
Yes, sir. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central. We're going to have a rebroadcast due to the National Believers Meeting. So we will have a rebroadcast of Brother Jihad's show. He going to kill me because I don't forgot which one it was. But either one, don't matter which one it is, they all are excellent. So for those of you who will not be privy to the Believers Meeting, we will still be here with the rebroadcast of Out on the Frontline with the Fruit of Islam. On Wednesday, join us at 7 p.m. for DJ Black Season and Friends. On Thursday, I will be here with the attorney and the mother of baby Ashton Rose, the baby who was accidentally castrated when he went to go become circumcised. On Friday, join us at 8 p.m. for our live study group with Student Minister James, put on the new man. And, of course, our queen, Sister Yatira, is here with us tonight. She is the host of Young, Gifted, and Black, which airs on Saturday at 8 p.m. And maybe if we're nice, she can give us a sneak peek of what the topic will be. Sister Yatira?
It's going to be something good.
All praises due to Allah. Okay, we cannot complain about that. And of course, on Sunday, we'll be joined at 6:30 p.m. with Brother Vernon Muhammad with No Romance Without Finance. And of course, next Monday, we'll be right back here with Brother Kareem. And Brother Kareem, are we going to get a sneak peek at the topic?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Next Monday, here, right here on Conscious Black Nation, our topic will be Transformers, Hypocrites in Disguise.
Ooh. Oh, my Lord.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh. You know what? Let me go pay my life insurance before we do that one. Okay.
Shut it out.
They gonna be coming after me. All right.
No, you're not gonna. They ain't gonna come. They're not coming after you by yourself. They gotta come through me first.
All praises due to Allah. Yes, sir. Lock and load.
That's right. Well, thank you very much.
Your sister soldier over here got y'all back. They ain't going to get no fire. They ain't going to get fire. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that's right. We are
that's
a strong force. So, yes, sir. I'll pray for you to come out.
Well, as I always say, the thought is the act. The act is the fact. We either participate or we all dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaikum-salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.